Yeah, we're going to start with Daf Samach. We're going to start actually the last couple lines on the bottom of Mem Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara over here had just discussed the idea that if you have a ladder, the case that the Gemara was discussing before was with a ladder at the end of a city, but now we're just going to talk about the idea, generally speaking, whether a ladder in front of a wall constitutes, do you give effect to the wall, which means that you have a mechitza, or do you give effect to the ladder, which gives it the ability to create a Pesach? The Gemara essentially said that you really could, it could work either way if you wanted to. Now, this is all assuming provided that the ladder is wide enough to be the size of a door, which was four tvachim or four amas across. And then, now the Gemara is going to discuss generally if you have a ladder next to a wall, either it's between a chotzer or some other type of rishos, whether or not we consider the ladder a pesach or a mechitza. So, now let's start just from, I think this is where we left off, from two lines from the bottom on the testament date. When we Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, did Rav Nachman really say that we always consider it a mechitza? So even though if there's a wall there, we still consider, even if there's a ladder there, we still consider the wall a mechitza. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Anshe Chatzav, Anshe Merpeses. So you have a case over here where you have a chatzar on the ground level, and then there's a second level to this building, and in front of the second level, there's a porch. And in order for the people from the porch to get out, they have to come down a set of stairs, and they go through the chatzar to get out. So, Shashachu B'la'irvu. So these people, they forgot to make an Erev among themselves between these two chatzars, because the people on the upper level are considered one kind of rishos, and the people on the chatzar are a second rishos, and the people from the upper level are impeding going through the chatzar. But so they forgot to make an Erev to make it permissible. So im yesh l'sneim daka. So the Gemara, the Braisa that they're quoting over here is, or Shmuel is quoting, is saying that if there's a daka, which Rashi explains over here to mean that there's some sort of gate, like a little archway in front at the bottom of the steps, arba, that if it's four tfachim across, so then what this gate does is it makes the two rishuyos separate, and therefore the upper rishos is considered separate and apart from the bottom rishos, and it doesn't make it that there's somebody else going through the bottom chotzer, and it's mutter. So it's not a problem that they didn't make an Eruv. The Imla, Vaiseres, however, if they don't have a daka there, if they don't have this gateway there, then the upper Rishos does interfere with the first Rishos. Now, this is all important because the case that we're talking about, that to get to the upper Rishos, you have to go up a ladder. So we see that the ladder is considered a Pesach, is considered a thoroughfare without the daka. So how could Rav Nachman say that there, it's considered a mechitza, that when you have a wall, even if there's a ladder there, it's considered a mechitza? Here you see that now that you have steps, it's considered one rishus. So Gemara says, "How come I ask him with the loyga voya merpeses asara?" The case over here is that they're not really so high up, that it's not 10 tefachim high, which would make it into a different rishus, but rather it's within 10 tefachim off the ground, so really it's considered one rishus anyway. So the Gemara says, "The loyga voya merpeses asara." So if it's not 10 tefachim off the ground, kika avadaka my havik. So what does the daka help? So what does it help if you put a little gate in front of you? If it's really one rishus altogether, a little gate in the front of the staircase is not going to make a difference. The Gemara answers, "Mugufefes ad eser amos." The case is that there's really a wall that separates the lower terrain and the upper porch area, except for 10 amos worth of an opening, which then I considers that a doorway, and they would be considered together as one rishus. However, so the kivin to avidaka is the luki yestalik lemehocha. So they're not far enough apart in height. Plus, there's a big opening, a 10 amma opening. So if you put the daka in front of it, that shows that you really want to consider them separate, and it's not a problem that they didn't make an eruv. But if you don't have a daka, then the opening is going to allow the two rishuyos to be considered as one. But that has nothing to do with the staircase. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, kosher shiratzu v'sulamis." If you have a wall, if you actually have a literal wall, that is, has ladders one after the next. Afilu b'yosem yeser, even if they're more than 10 amos, of course, as we just described, 10 amos is usually the amount of the largest of a doorway. And even so, that they're more than 10 amos across, they're still considered a mechitza. Tarius mechitza, but it's still considered a mechitza. So now, Ramile Rav Baruna, Rav Yehuda, He asked him upon Matzarta the Bay Rav Chanina and the Matzarta of the Yeshiva of Rav Chanina. So mi Amar Shmuel Teres Mechitzas Olav. Here you're saying that he considers it a Mechitza, that we don't take into consideration the latter. As Va'amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Anshem Berpesav Anshe Chazor Shashachu V'la'irvu. We said that if you have the porch and the chotzer that didn't make an erev, and yesh tefana daka arba eno iseres, if they have a daka, then they're considered separate. Then la iseres, but if there's no daka, it's considered one. So once again, we see that the ladder does connect the two rishuyos. So how could you say that even if you have ladders all across the wall, it's considered a mechitza and they're separated? The Gemara answers similar to what we said before, that again, the case with the porch and the chotzer is talking about the loygavayim bepesas asar, where the porch is less than 10 tefachim off the ground. The loygavayim bepesas asar, so again, if it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's one rishus, ki avadaka mai have. So how does it help to put a gate over there? So the Gemara answers, b'mukha fefes ad eser amos, that really it has a wall separating the two up to 10 amos, and there's a 10 amos gap. Now, to keep in the avadaka is to look at your stalag mayachal. But once they make the daka, then it covers up the 10 amos gap, and it says that they want to be separate. Okay. Now, here's a very interesting case. Hanu bei Kukunoi. There were these people from the city of Kukunoi. De osi lekame de Rav Yosef. They came to Rav Yosef. Amrle, they said, hablonu gavro, give us somebody to lavid lon mosin. That Dilaar Vlam Mosin, that can make an Erev around our city. They wanted to make an Erev, they needed a qualified person to put an Erev around their city. Amalei, La Abaya. So Rabbi Yosef said to Abaya his Talmud, Zul Arav Lahu, go make an Erev for them. But make sure when you make the Erev, make sure it includes all the Shitas and don't have anybody in the Beis Medrash scream at you. In other words, make sure that it's done Kaalocha. Also, Chazal Ahanu Bate, he saw that they were he visited the city, and Rashi says the city was a case where it was originally Rishus HaRavim and then went down and was reduced to Rishus HaYachid. So it's the kind of city that you can make an Erev. And Tosa says it doesn't really have to be that it was even once upon a time. It doesn't even have to be that it's a Rishus HaYachid or it's owned by a Yachid now. It could even be that it was originally a Yachid. As long as it's not, it could even be a Rishus HaRavim now, as long as it wasn't originally owned by a Yachid, so it didn't need the shear, right? The idea that you leave over part of the city that is not included in the Erev. So here was the type of city that did need to leave over something. So he went to check out the city. Also, Chazu Lahanu Bate, he saw there were houses on the side of the city, the Paschal and Nahara that are open up to there was a river running along the side of the city, but the houses along the river only opened up in the direction towards the river, did not open towards the back, towards the city. So Omar, so Abaya said, Hane Lahave, Shir Lamosa. So let these houses on the side be the Shir, let them be the leftover, the extra. Hodor Omar, then he said to himself, no, Ein Marvin Eskula Tanah. We learned that you don't have to make an Erev around everything. Michlal, the Iboile Ruve, Matsima Arvi. So it sounds like you can't use these houses because, as we pointed out, these houses only opened up towards the river. They could not be included as part of the city, even if they wanted to be, because they had no opening towards the city. So therefore, those houses cannot count. So they have to be able to iboy la ruve marvi, because if they wanted to, they have to be able to make an erev with the rest of the city. So how should we include them? Eleyavilahu kvi. We're going to make some windows. The iboy la arev derechalonas matzim arvi. We can, if they wanted to, they could make the Erev, the windows will be large enough to qualify as an opening, that if they wanted to, these people could now be part of the city for purposes of the Erev, and then we'll say we're not including them. So we'll just make these windows, and then they'll be the leftovers. However, Hoda Amar, after further contemplating, he said, Loi boy, we don't even have to make the windows. Because Rabba, we had this Gemara earlier, made a city, he had a city that had these large pits in between each part of the city, and they used to store the animal food in those large pits, but the large pits were so big that it would cut off one section of the city to another section of the city, and even so, they would make an Erev around each section independently, even though originally it was one big city. Now that they were cut off by these food pits, he would only make an Erev around the certain sections without making a Lechi and a Kairah, and he would consider them separate Mishum Peri, the Beitur, because of these ditches that had the food for the animals. The Cholchad V'chad Havashir L'chavrei, and the way it worked was that each section was considered leftover, not including the other section, was considered the shear for the other section. And even so, L'maisa, they couldn't get from one side of the city, because the ditches were in the way, they couldn't get to the other side of the city. So we see that even if it's not possible to get from one side, from one part of the city to another part of the city, that's still considered part of the Eruv. So it wasn't necessary to make a window in those houses, even though you couldn't get from the city into those houses, and still this should be considered a shear for the city. In other words, you don't, at this point he thinks you don't need to make a window in the house. He said, no, really that's not true. Because also, by the case of Mechasa Mechuzia, Mechuzah, in the city of Mechuzah, if they wanted to, not, it's true that they couldn't walk on the ground level to get from one side of the city to the other because the pits would be in the way. However, there were the roofs overhung, there were overhangs in the roof that they could get from one part of the city to the other. So they could have been ma'arev together if they wanted to. And that's why they are part of the city for purposes of leaving them over. However, v'hani loy ma'arvi, but these houses that face the river aren't included in the city at all. Hilgoth ma'avid kivi, so therefore we should make the windows in the houses. Hadar Amar, he said, no. Kivinami loy boy, we still don't need to make the windows. Why? Da'i bar tivna, there was this storage house that had wheat in it. The Havale Lamar, bar pupita pizza, pumpadisa, the bar pizza had this in pumpadisa. The Shav Yashir, the Pumpadisa, and that storage house, even though it didn't open up to the city and it was apart from the city, was still considered, the Shir was considered the leftover for the city of Pumpadisa. So we see, even if it doesn't open up to the city, it's still considered a Shir. And therefore, it's not necessary to make these windows. So Omar, Hayim de Omar Limar, now Abai said to himself, now I understand why Rabbi Yosef told me, Chazi de Lemetavcha Lebevei Medrasha, and make sure they don't scream at me in the base medrash, because there were so many different ways this could have gone, whether or not they needed the windows or not. So Rashi learns if they needed the windows, they'd be very upset if they had to make windows in a house unnecessarily. And Tosfos learns not only that, if they had to make the windows, they would have ended up knocking down the entire house. So it wouldn't have worked. So the fact that they were able to make these houses considered a shear without putting in the windows was actually very critical for them to be able to make the Eruv. The next Gemara says like this, Eliam Kain also Chutzalo Ki'er Chadosha. The Mishnah had said also that the amount of, according to the first Shita, the amount that you have to leave over outside of the city in order for it to be considered a leftover has to be the size of Ir Chadosha. So Tanya Amr of Yehuda, Ir Achas, there was one city, Hoysa Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, Chadosha Shema, and that was the name. Bahayaba Nun Diyarin, and it had 50 people living there, Anashim, Anashim, Atap. So that's the number. Bahayamashayir Chachamim, and that's what the Chachamim used as the estimate for how much you have to leave over from the city. The Yais Ashir, and that was considered the Shir for another city. So Yibayu, now the case over there was Chadosha was one little city next to a bigger city. So the Gemara asked the following question: Yibayu, Chadosha Mahu, whether Chadosha itself can make its own Eruv, in other words, and consider the big city next to it to be considered its Shir, so that Chadosha itself can be in one Eruv. So the Gemara says that's simple. Chadosha ki hecha de'i have a Shir l'gadoilo. Just like Chadosha, the small city is considered the leftover from the big city. So that makes it simple. The big city is the leftovers from the small city, and there's no problem making an Erev for Chadosha itself. So the Gemara says, okay, that's not what I meant to ask. What about if you have a city that's only 50 people living there? Do they need to have a Shir, because they don't have another city attached to them? Do they need to leave over a part of their city in order to make the rest into it in one Erev? Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So we have Machlekas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Chad Amar Boy Shir, Chad Amar Loy Boy Shir. Since they're such a small city, they don't need to leave over. One Shita says you do need to leave over a portion. The other one says you don't need to leave over a portion. It seems that we paskin that if they're such a small city, they don't need to leave over another portion. The last part of the Mishnah was Rav Shimon Amar Gimel Chatzeres. You need three houses, three Chatzeres, each one having two houses, and that's enough to be considered a Shir. So Amar Rav Kama Bar Guria Amar Rav. Halacha Rav Shimon, we pass on like Rav Shimon that you just need three chatzeres for two houses. So Yitzchok Amar Afilu Bayis Echad B'Chatzer Echad. You even need one house or one courtyard. So the Gemara says Chatzer Achas Al Kadai. How could one courtyard be enough if nobody lives there? Ela'ema Bayis Echad B'Chatzer Achas. He says what I mean is one house and one chatzer. It's enough as long as you have a house there, people live there, and one chatzer. It's enough to be considered a leftover. Amalei Abayi Le Rav Yosef Ha Rav Yitzchok Gemara Isvara. So Abayi asked, is that you learned that you have a source for this, or do you just decide it on your own? Amarle, my nafkalam mina. What difference does it make? That's how we pass it. Amarle, gemara zemurta tehei, which usually means that let the Gemara itself be music, meaning we want to know, if Rashi explains, we want to know the real pshat. If there is more to this, then we should have the information that will allow us to learn the Gemara in full. Rashi in other places learns that we shouldn't make the Gemara into a song, meaning that you shouldn't just have, you know, make statements so that you can sing about them if there's no explanation to it. And either way, either point, he was just trying to say if there's background information to it, we should have it. Zok, the next Mishnah. Misha haya b'mizrach. Alright, now we get into how to set your erev. Somebody who is on the east side of his city. V'amar b'libnoi, and he says to his son, the Gemara can explain exactly what the case is, but he says to his son, arev li b'mayriv, go and put my erev to the west. The Pashto says when the Gemara first reads this Mishnah, understands it to mean that he's telling his son to put the erev on the west side of the city. Or b'mayriv, he's standing on the west side, v'amar l'b'nai, arev li b'mizrach, will put my erev on the east side of the city. Im yeshem en ulebeis ayapayim amah. If after everything is set, he has less than 2,000 amas from where he's standing to his house. Ule'eruva yosemikan. But based on where he put down the erev, it's more than 2,000 amas. So then, mutar l'beis, so he can go to his house because he's within 2,000 amas. But also le'eruva, and he doesn't go to the erev because it's outside of the erev and it's too far to set it that way. Ule'eruva, how about the other way around? Le'eruva alpaim, if let's say he's 2,000 amas away from where he set the erev, but his house is now more than 2,000 amos. So now he can reach where the Erev is, but he can't go to his house because his house is more than 2,000 amos away. Now going back to the first case, Rashi points out something very interesting and very important. In the case where you set up the Erev that it was more than 2,000 amos away, or your house was still within 2,000 amos, so L'chayr Rashi has a question. That once you set the Erev, what you basically said was, I don't want to be in my house, I want to be where my Erev is. So how come I don't lose my house? I shouldn't have the Erev because it's too far away, and I shouldn't have my house because I don't want to be in my house. So Rashi says, and Rashi proves, that that's not true. There's the difference between when you're traveling and you try to set an Erev which is more than 2,000 amos away, where basically you're saying, I don't want to be here because I'm traveling, but I want to be where my Erev is, but my Erev isn't chal because it's more than 2,000 amos away. Then Enachanami, you're left with nothing. But over here, where you set an Erev, it doesn't work, but you're still within range of your house, then by default, your house is going to be deemed where you are. So it's very important to realize that if your house is within your tchum, you always have your house as a default. The only time where you could uproot your house from being your Erev is where you set a proper Erev with the intention of being where the Erev is in a place other than your house. But otherwise you're always considered where your house is and nowhere and by default. Continuing in the Mishnah, the second to last line, Hanosinus Eruva the Iburei Shel Ir, a person puts his Erev within the perimeter of the city. Well, Yosef Lekom, he didn't accomplish anything because the city anyway is counted as Dalet Amos. However, if he puts the Erev outside of the Tchum, we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain that means outside of the city, not outside the Tchum. Afilu HaMa'achas, Mashaniskehu Maftim. Whatever he gains, he loses. Meaning, he gains the one Amah of the Erev outside the city, but then he loses the entire city because, as Dalet Amos, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain, he loses the distance of the outskirts of the city. Because the Erev is now on the outskirts of the city and a measure from the Erev as opposed to measuring the entire city as the Dalet Amos. But we'll see, there's a possibility that even when your Erev is, if your entire city is within 2,000 Amos, so then you're still going to be, it's still going to be considered Dalet Amos. You only lose the one Amma outside the city. The Gemara continues and the Gemara says, Kasaka Daitach Lemizrach. The Mizrach Beisoi. So we think, as we explained in the Mishnah, that to the east means to the east side of his house, Lamayrav Beisoi. And to west means to the west of his house, meaning I'm standing on, let's say I'm standing in the east and I put my Erev on the west of the house. So Bishlai Mehemen Olu Beisoi Alpayim Amo. So I can understand the case, it makes a lot of sense when I'm 2,000 amos away from my house. So Le'eruva Yosemikan, and my Erev is more than that. Meshkachas Lodemot of the Beisoi, Veloimot of Le'eruva. So basically, I'm too far away from the Erev. If you set them up in order, 1, 2, 3, I get to from point 1 to point 2 within 2,000 amos, and point 3 is too far away. So I understand that case. How is it possible that if I'm on one side of the city and the Erev is on the other side of the city, how is it possible that the city is more than 2,000 amos, but the Erev is less than 2,000 amos? By definition, if they're in a row, that just doesn't work. So Amar Rav Yitzchok, so he says, no, the case is slightly different. Mi Sarvis L'Mizrach, L'Mizrach Beisai, L'Mayav L'Mayav Beisai, who said east and west means to the east side or the west side of the house? No, L'Mizrach means L'Mizrach Benoi. It's east of where you're standing. L'Mayav means L'Mayav Benoi, west of where you're standing. So you're more like, as you see Rashi in the picture, you're more like on a triangle. So it's east and west of you, so it's possible that the Erev is still within 2,000 amas of you in the house. You could be pulled off on the angle, it could end up being more than 2,000 amas away. Rav Bar Shila Amar Afilu Tema L'Mizrach L'Mizrach Beisai L'Mayav L'Mayav Beisai K'goyin D'Klei Beisai Ba'alach Soina. Oh, sorry, that's the second case. That the case is that they're on a triangle. And that's the case that Rashi is talking about. So it's possible that you're more than 2,000 amas away from your house, but not 2,000 amas away from you. And the first case was, the first pshat in the Gemara was, L'Mizrach Benoi means that you tell your son where you're standing to put it east or west of where he is. But therefore, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's in line with the city. The son could be standing someplace else, and the father could be standing in a different location. And therefore, it's possible that the house is still within, the Erev is within 2,000 amos, and the house may be a lot further away from where he's standing. That's the first pshat. The second pshat is the triangle pshat. The next case of the Gemara is, you there? Okay, Hanoisin Erev v'Vesoich Erev Burei, like we saw in the Mishnah, that if you put the Erev inside the confines of the city, or versus you put it outside of the Tchum. So the Gemara asks, Chutz l'Tchum, Sakadat, if you think you put it outside the Tchum, how could that possibly be a good Erev? What he meant was he put it outside the perimeter of the city. So then again, where the Erev, now you start counting from the Erev and you don't count the entire city. The last line in the Mishnah is Mashen Iskuhu Mafsid. Whatever he gains by putting it outside of the city, he loses, because now we don't measure the whole city. You have to start measuring the full 2,000 amas from where you put it out. So the Gemara says Mashen Iskuhu Vesulai. You only lose what you gain, meaning that one ama in that direction. Vahatanya, you could lose a lot more. We learned it in Braisa. If you put your Erev inside the perimeter of the city, you didn't accomplish anything, meaning the whole perimeter is anyway counted as Dalet Amos. If you put it outside of the perimeter of the city, even one Amma out, yes, you gain that one Amma in that direction. You can go 2,001 Ammas from the city. But now you lose the entire city, because remember, the city till now was counted as Dalet Amos. You were able to walk from the walls of the city. Now the entire city counts in everything. So let's say, just for argument's sake, the city was 1,000 Amos wide. So when I was inside the city, I got to go 2,000 Amos from the edge of the city on the west, and I lived on the east, but I still got to go 2,000 Amos from the edge of the city. Now that I put my Erev one Amma out further to the east, the entire city counts as 1,000 Amos, and then I only get 1,000 Amos from the wall. Why? Because the measurements of the size of the city counts as part of the tchum, so I can't go anywhere compared to where I used to be able to go. I don't just lose one amma, I lose thousands of ammas depending on how big the city is. So the Gemara says that's not necessarily true. Like Kasha. Kasha calls him midas of a chatayir, Kasha calls him midas of a seifayir. Very big chiddush. That it depends on, when I count my 2,000 ammas, where do I end up? Do I end up somewhere in the middle of the city? Or does my 2,000 amas conclude somewhere beyond or at the end of the city itself? If it concludes within the city, that's it. I get my 2,000 amas, I got to stop wherever I'm up to. However, if my 2,000 amas extends beyond the outside wall of the city from where I'm standing, then the whole city once again gets folded into Dalet Amos. Okay? And therefore, I don't really lose the city, because I had Dalet Amos now beforehand, and now I get back to Dalet Amos. If I'm measuring from where I'm standing, if I end up halfway into a city, I only get half the city. However, if I measure and I get the entire city, the entire city folds into Dalet Amos. So in other words, if for argument's sake I went one Amos, let's say just for argument's sake that the city itself is a full 2,000 Amos, so if I put my Erev one Amma out, I only get another 1,999 Ammas, which means I finished one Amma before the end of the city. Let's say the city was, for argument's sake, 1,500 Ammas. So now I would get one Amma. 1,500 amas, I still have another 499 amas to go. Therefore, the entire city now becomes only Dalet amas, which means I only used up 5 amas, and I get to go another 1,995 amas still on the other side of the city. Amar Rav Idi. So that's what Rav Idi said in the name of Rav Yeshua. So Amar Rav Idi, Ein Elu Ela Divrei Nevi'is. That sounds like Divrei Nevi'is, meaning the way Rashi learns is that there's no explanation for this. I don't understand how we get this. Does he have a raya for this? Now Tosfos actually, according to one pshat, and Tosfos learns just the opposite. It says Ein Elu Divrei Nevi'is, that this is so brilliant, this is like a Navi talking. Tosfos learns the whole thing as if it was the best way. But now Rashi is learning that this it doesn't make any sense. Why should it make a difference where my tchum finishes? So the Gemara says, because he says Mali Kolsa B'chati Ya'ir, Mali Kolsa B'Soif Ha'ir. What difference does it make whether I finish in the middle of the city or I finish at the end of the city? Either the city counts or it doesn't. Why should the fact that I got to the end all of a sudden collapse the entire city into one, into Dalet Amos? So Amarov, it's not a problem. Tavayo Taninu, we learned both of these points, meaning that we learned both cases, a case where you finish outside the city and a case where you finish in the middle of the city. Because we learned, it's actually the next Mishnah coming up, if you have a big city that's next to a small city within its tchum, and the guy goes ahead, and so the pashut pshat in the Gemara right now is that since the small city is within its 2,000 amos, and even the end of the small city is within its 2,000 amos, I get to walk the entire city till the end. However, but the big city, the small city can't walk the big city, because the presumption is that the big city is more than 2,000 amos across, so my amos are going to run out in the middle. My time allowed mishum dahani kolsum nidasam b'chatzi ha'ir v'hani kolsum nidasam b'soif ha'ir. One finishes in the middle, one finishes at the end, so that's why the big can go through the entire small, but the small can't go through the big because it ends its 2,000 amas somewhere in the middle. So we see this concept that it depends on whether the 2,000 amas ends in the middle of the city or at the end of the city. So why did Rav Idi know this? So the Gemara answers Rav Idi, anshe toni. He didn't learn the Mishnah the way we learn it. Our girsa in the Mishnah is the ain. Right at the top of the Samach Aleph of Amud Aleph, Ein Anshei Ir Gedana Mahalchan Es Kol Ir Gedola, that the small city can't walk the big city. However, Rav Idi had a different girsa in our Mishnah, and he also learned Anshei Ir Gedana. He learned that both, even the small city, could walk the entire big city. However, that doesn't make sense the way we're learning the Mishnah. So he learns Tani Umukun La Benoisei. He's talking about a different case. That the case is that not that you were walking and measuring through the big city, but rather somebody from the small city put his Erev in the middle in some house in the big city, and obviously within range of his 2,000 amas. Then he's saying that even the small city can consider the entire big city his Dalet Amos because he put his Erev there. Avo b'moideid loitanan. But when it comes to measuring, the Mishnah is not discussing the case. What would happen if you were measuring and your amos ran out either at the end of the city or in the middle of the city? So therefore, once again, Rav Idi, okay, the way Rashi is learning, Rav Idi is left with a scenario where he doesn't have a Mishnah which backs up this idea, the concept that there's a difference between the beginning of the city, finishing your amos in the middle of the city, versus finishing your amos at the end of the city. Okay, we'll stop here.